Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
All right, for our weekly segment with Michael Shockley, webmaster and senior writer of IcemanManiacs.com, and for my money, the best journalist in Evansville. I have never found a typo or a grammatical mistake in your website, unlike the Google Plus, that I can't read the sports page any time without finding a typo.
I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could find a typo or grammatical error in there, but
I'm sure those are just Jenny Watt's posts. But anyways, last weekend, Saturday night, 88-68 in the Ford Center to see the Iceman's first game of the year, first game as an ECHL franchise, and 20 minutes later, it's 3-0, and the wheels already had coming off, the sky's falling, fire everybody, Crown doesn't know what he's doing, goaltender's horrible. What do you make of all this, Michael?
I think it's the end of the season. We should just give up right now. It's over. There's no point in continuing.
Half the fan base has,
according to
Facebook.
It's a very what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of situation. It's always, you know, if you lost your last game, you're the worst team in the league, and you're not going anywhere, and if you won the last game, then you're going to win the Stanley Cup, even though we don't play for the Stanley Cup.
Best team in hockey. We could beat anybody. So, but you were at the game. What did you see? What did you like? What didn't you like?
Well, I didn't like the first period. After that, I thought they settled down and played pretty well. The first period, just, you know, everyone's throwing Paul Karpowicz under the bus for giving up 3 goals and then another one in the first minute of the second period before he got pulled. But he didn't have any help. The team was flat. They weren't playing with any energy. They did not look like they were ready to be there, really, and I don't know that that's necessarily a coaching problem. I think it's more just opening night jitters. You got a lot of rookies, you got a lot of guys that haven't played together that were sent down at the last minute in camp, and you know, it's just, it takes some time to develop chemistry and figure out where everybody's going to be, and that first period showed that it's a big difference when you're in your first night and the opponent has already played a game. The Comets were at home on Friday and they got shellacked by Kalamazoo, but they had that benefit of having already played a game. So by the time they came here on Saturday, they had had that ugly game, gotten it out of the way, and they were ready to go. But the Icemen, that was their first game of the season. So that first period was really ugly, but once they righted the ship after Karpowicz got pulled and Rob Medore went into net, it was actually a pretty good game after that for the Icemen. After it was 4-0, they essentially played them even. It was 2-2 the rest of the way, but one of the two for Fort Wayne was an empty net goal. So really, the Icemen won the rest of the game 2-1, and they outshot the Comets 36-9 the rest of the way. And you could see it was like the ice was tilted back the other way. Now, granted, when you have a 4-goal lead, you tend to, you know,
dump the puck in and let them come to you and keep them on the outside and have the long distance shot.
Right. Yeah. It's easier to outplay the opposition when they already have a 4-goal cushion. But, you know, you still take out of that that the team, you know, it's not the end of the world. The team's going to be fine. It's just one really ugly period, and I don't think anyone needs to be giving up on the Icemen or Karpowicz in particular, who's taken the brunt of the blame for giving up 4 goals in 20 minutes and 59 seconds or whatever it was. But, you know, it's a long season. There's 71 more games.
And I think, you know, with every team, every season, it's all about development. And I know, looking at the interview with Coach Crom a couple of weeks ago that was in the Courier Press, he didn't say this, but he knew this was part of the plan. Was he knew he was going to get a ton of guys sent down to him in the last week, and they were going to have to develop chemistry from there. Fort Wayne took the other route. They set their lineup, their roster for the most part. The Maple Leafs sent 4 players to Fort Wayne. And I don't know if Fort Wayne tried them out or not. Toronto isn't, or Fort Wayne isn't an affiliate of Toronto. They rejected those 4 players. They didn't end up on their final roster. So Fort Wayne you know, with an opportunity to have some AHL level players, just denied Toronto outright because they wanted to keep the chemistry that they had. So they jump out for, and they got one game under their belt before they came to the Ford Center, and they played a better team, like the better team with the chemistry. But I think in the long run, you know, this is Crom's, he is setting up this team for victory in the long run.
Yeah, and I think the Comets have that advantage, and it's kind of a luxury in a way, of being not Toronto's affiliate. Because when Toronto wants to send players down, the Comets can say, no, we're not interested, and, you know, we don't want to screw up the chemistry of the team. With the Icemen having two affiliates, you don't...
And a lockout.
Yeah, and the lockout. You don't necessarily have to take every player that's sent to you, but it behooves you to, because you want to be a good affiliate. And, you know, if you continually say no to players that are sent down to you by your actual affiliates, they're not going to want to be your affiliate anymore. So, you know, you can say no, but you do that at your own risk.
Yeah, and those affiliations change year in and year out. We're looking at, me and a friend of mine, her favorite team is Boston, my favorite team is Toronto. In the ECHL, Reading Royals was the joint affiliation for both of them last year. This year, Reading is now the affiliate of the Washington Capitals, and Toronto and Boston are gone. So those affiliations can change year in and year out. So.
Yeah, almost all the time they do one-year deals. So you can't, you know, I know a lot of people here are excited about the Icemen being affiliated with St. Louis Blues. I'm one of them. I'm a Blues fan. But you can't look at that and just accept that it's going to be a long-term deal. You know, by the time the season's over in April or May or hopefully June, that, you know, that deal is officially over, and then you reevaluate for next season, and hopefully we'll have affiliations back, but you never know.
Yeah, and the parent club will make a lot of decisions. It's not necessarily, oh, the Evansville screwed us over, so we're not going to be affiliated with them anymore. Sometimes it's all of our draft picks are playing major, junior, or college, so we don't need an ECHL franchise. And then other times, you've got a lot of them have developed out of major, junior. You've got nowhere else to put them, so you'll need that ECHL. So it's all part of the parent club thing as well.
Yeah, I saw this year that the Blues sending four players down to the ECHL affiliate is the most they've ever sent to the ECHL in a season. And that's part of that is because of the lockout, because you've got the trickle-down effect of there's four or five guys that would have started the season probably in the NHL that are in Peoria, and therefore there's four or five guys that would have been in Peoria that have to go elsewhere. And Evansville is the elsewhere for four of them. So it's good that we have those guys. But at the same time, you know, if the lockout ends, you don't know what's going to happen. You may have the guys that trickle down may trickle back up, and then it's going to make things really interesting somewhere in the middle of the season.
You had a couple of guys that stood out during the game on Saturday night?
Yeah, I thought probably the best player on the ice for the Icemen was Brett Sonne. He's one of the guys that was sent down from the Blues via Peoria. He looked like a guy that did not look happy about having been sent down, and he looked like he had a point to prove. He was all over the ice. He was probably at both ends of the ice, the best player on the ice for Evansville. He set up the first Iceman goal, and he scored the second Iceman goal. And if he plays like that the rest of the season, he's going to be very popular, and once the lockout ends, if it ends in the middle of the season, he may not be here much longer because he stood out definitely on Saturday. The other guy that I thought stood out, not for his overall play, but for one moment in particular, was Cody Beach. He's the 6'5 enforcer that was sent down by the Blues, and he fought Fort Wayne's Dan Nicolot early in the game and just beat the daylights out of him. The fans loved that. Beach didn't do a whole lot the rest of the game, but that fight definitely got people's attention. So it'll be interesting to see how long he sticks around. He's a rookie, so you never know if he moves up the ladder fairly quick. But
now, what line was he on?
He played with
because I thought Shelast was the extra skater.
Yeah,
Beach did have a regular shift down, like, third line or something like that?
Yeah, Beach played with Dale Mahovsky and Jason Dale.
Okay.
Both
of those guys I really liked in training camp.
Yeah, that line looked pretty decent. They didn't do anything offensively, but they didn't look bad either. I thought the best line was the Sonny, Tyler Shattuck, Oliver Gabriel line, which is Sonny and Shattuck were the two forwards that were sent down by the Blues in addition to Beach. and Gabriel was sent on by Springfield. And they looked pretty good together. And the Mahovsky-Dale beach line looked decent. The Robinson, the top line, you would think, the Todd Robinson, Josh Beaulieu, Dan Gender line, looked, I don't know if they just looked out of sync or what, but they didn't do a whole lot, and they didn't look like a top line should. But again, it's the first game, so.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about our predictions. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what we thought this team was going to do. I'm pretty pessimistic on the season, nothing against the Icemen or the coaching staff. I just think it's really difficult to go to a new league with 18 different venues that you're now busing to, getting hotels to, playing in a different arena. And I just see a lot of 3-2, 4-3 losses that after we have a year of experience, this team will challenge for the cup, the Kelly Cup. Is it the Kelly Cup?
Yeah, the Kelly
yes.
Cup.
So I really expect this team to be in the lower third of the standings by the time the season is over. Your predictions, you got a little bit more optimism than I do.
Well, I guess maybe I'm just trying to look at it as a glass half full, or trying to think of, you know, the best case scenario. I don't want anyone thinking that the Icemen are a lock for a championship, because I don't think they are. But at the same time, I do think your prediction of bottom third could happen. But I'm going to say they're going to be somewhere around 500 and hopefully challenging for a low-end playoff spot. I don't necessarily expect them to, you know, win the championship or even win a playoff series, but I think the talent is there. It's going to be a case of how well can they build chemistry, how much roster turnover is there going to be as the season goes on, and that's going to go a long way toward determining the chemistry. You know, if they can keep the same guys for the most part and build around a core of guys that are going to be here for the full season, you could still be a really good team. And the other big X factor, as it always is in hockey, is goaltending. And how well does Karpovich bounce back from the disaster on opening night? And can Rob Medor be a guy that sticks around for the whole season? There's some question as to whether or not we'll have him for very long. So, you know, I think if we get really good goaltending, you could very well have a playoff team. But if the goaltending struggles, if the team doesn't develop very good chemistry, if there's a lot of turnover or injuries, then, yeah, bottom third is definitely, you know, realistic. So it's there's a lot of X factors, and with the lockout, it's just, it's a very odd season. It's a difficult season to try to predict because there's so many variables, and, you know, each one could play a major role, and it's going to be an interesting season. You know, I said on IcemanManiacs.com, the only thing that it seems like a sure bet this season is that it's going to be unpredictable.
One of the things you brought up, and we want to hear all of your predictions too, so you can hit us up on Facebook, you can tweet me at Derek_B_, we want to hear your predictions, and we will put them in concrete, so we will verify who knows more about this team at the end of the season, and we're not afraid to throw you under the bus when your predictions don't work out. One of the things you brought up, though, before the season was a concern about mobility on defense, specifically the defensive zone, and I listened to the Fort Wayne broadcast Saturday night, and that's what the coaching staff talked about at the start of the game. Their broadcaster said they want to push the puck in deep and force the Iceman D to turn around and go and get that puck. So that might be a concern right there.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest concern on D. I think there's a lot of offensive talent on the blue line. But
there's tons of offensive talent.
Yeah.
You have Phil Plant and Jens. They're amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that have that ability to generate offense, but, you know, at the same time, on defense, your primary job, in addition to starting the rush offensively, is to keep the puck out of your own net. And I think there are some liabilities there. I think, you know, there's a nice mix of experience and youth, but at the same time, you have to have the speed to keep up with the forwards in this game. And I wonder about the older guys on the defense, whether or not they can keep up. And, you know, I like Phil Plant. I think he's a really solid player, but he looked slow at times last year in the CHL, and this league is even faster than the CHL. And I just hope that he's able to position himself, you know, make up for his lack of speed with his experience, position himself to where he's not a problem in the defensive zone, because he brings a lot to the table in the locker room and at the offensive end of the ice. But in the D zone, you know, your job out there is to keep guys from getting quality scoring chances, and if you're a pylon and someone's just flying around you because you don't have the speed, that's a problem.
That sounds like me in the men's league. One other reason why I'm pessimistic, and I'll ask you, this team is lacking Brian Bicek. They had to do what they had to do because of contract, whatever else. But that guy is a 35, 40 goal scorer, amazing speed, amazing penalty killer. Do we have someone on this roster yet that is going to replace his abilities?
I think if there's anyone, it's probably going to be Dan Gender. But, you know, Bicek was the man on his own line last year. He was the guy on that line where the offense worked around him. And right now, Crom has Gender playing with Todd Robinson and Josh Beaulieu. And I don't know that on that line, Gender's going to take on that kind of role. I would almost rather see Gender play on a line with, say, a Mahovsky and a Dale, and, you know, either move Cody Beach up to the top line with Todd and Josh, or you could try Tyler Shalast there. But I think Gender, with a guy of his skill, almost needs to be the man on his line. And if he's on a line with Todd, I don't know that that's going to be the case. But I think from pure talent based on past performance, I think Gender is probably the guy that's most likely to be a breakout kind of player like that. I think Jason Dale and Dale Mahovsky both have that kind of potential, too. I don't know if they're at that point yet in their careers, but I think they kind of could be a Brian Bicek by committee. not to inflate Bicek's ego, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that he was that dynamic player offensively, but also very solid defensively. And
speed is just something that you can't. You've skated before, I've skated before. You get a speed guy coming down that wing like that, it changes the dynamic of defense, as a team defense, because now everyone has to over-rotate to that side because he is that fast. And half the time, he's still got around people, and the other half of the time, he's dropping a pass for his line mates.
Right.
There's nothing you can do in hockey to stop something like that.
Yeah, and that's the kind of guy that other teams have, and that's why we're worried about the speed of our defense, because, you know, nothing against guys like Phil Plant and Daniel Tatro, older guys who have the experience, but, you know, you can't teach speed, like you said, and there's just an immense amount of it in the forwards at this level. And you take guys like Brian Bicek for the opposition, and, you know, a guy like Phil Plant can skate faster than you and I and probably everybody else listening to this, but at this level, he's slow.
Yep.
And, you know, you hope that's not a liability going forward, because other teams have Brian Bicek, and I'm not sure, like you said, that we have a player like that. We have guys that have the potential to be, though, and it's going to be interesting to see how they develop as the season goes on.
So we take a break now from our segment for Shocker's Hockey Rocks Song of the Week. What do you got for us, Shock?
Well, this is going to be a little weekly thing we do where we play a rock song, usually a song that I played when I was the music man for the Iceman at Swander. And just to kind of break up the talking, because you guys don't want to listen to us for 20, 30 minutes every week nonstop. I don't even want to listen to us 20, 30 minutes nonstop. So this week's Shocker's Hockey Rock Song of the Week is a classic, perhaps one of the original arena rock style songs that everyone knows. It's a very famous song. You don't even need instruments to play it. All you need is your feet and your hands. It's We Will Rock You by Queen.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise. Playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face. You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, you're gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. You got mud on your face.
Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
All right.
And that was Shocker's Hockey Rock Song of the Week. You're listening to Dirty D and Michael Shockley, the Shocker, webmaster and senior writer of IcemanManiacs.com, the best source, potentially the only source of hockey news here in the tri-state. So definitely check out IcemanManiacs.com.
Yeah, that was a bit of a fulfillment of a dream for me. I've always wanted to kick a song on the radio, get it going, and that's a good one to start with. We Will Rock You by Queen.
Yeah, you're about 27 weeks of doing that now.
Yeah, this is basically a prophecy fulfilled. People have always told me I've got a face for radio and a body to match, so.
Yeah, you're in the right place. Upcoming weekend for the Evansville Icemen, Friday night at home against Trenton, where the ECHL kind of all started. I think their headquarters is there. And Fort Wayne away on Saturday night. Any thoughts on upcoming games?
Friday's home game should be good. The Trenton Titans are the affiliate. Their NHL affiliate is the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know if we... I think we have a few Flyers fans around here, but...
The old equipment manager was. What was that knucklehead's name?
Good question.
The one that, I can't even remember his name, but he was the Iceman equipment manager the first and second season, and he got all upset about something. The guys bought him, apologized. He can always be a little... rough. You got to have thick skin when you're in that locker room with the guys.
And yeah, you got to be able to give it and take it.
Yeah, and so they bought him a gift to say they were sorry, and he still quit. And then the next week, he showed back up as the equipment manager for the ever-hated Darren Seed in the Chi-Town Shooters.
Oh.
Yeah, he turned coat. So, yeah, he's a Flyers fan.
That's just awful. Being a Flyers fan isn't bad enough.
Exactly. I think that just epitomizes Flyer fans.
But yeah, that game Friday at home against the Titans starts at 7:15. I saw yesterday it's Nick Knackery night.
Ooh, I like
yeah,
it.
They're giving away some prizes from the Nick Knackery, and I guess they're doing a face painting contest, which someone didn't tell them that a lot of people paint their faces normally for Iceman games, so that's nothing new.
We'll see if they can hold up to a Brad Perkins.
Yeah, and then Saturday night at Fort Wayne, I don't expect another 6-2 loss, I'll say that much. I think it'll be a closer game than it was on Saturday, but that's always a tough place to play. You know, a Saturday night at home for the Comets, they've always got 8, 9, 10,000 people there. But
you know they're going to want to redo their home opener as well. They got blown out, like you said, the Friday night against Kalamazoo. So.
Yeah, they want to make up for it. But it'll be interesting to see how many people the Icemen get on Friday at home. You know, it's the second game of the season. It's a Friday. It's not necessarily a marquee opponent. So
it is also the first weeks of sectionals for high school football, which, I mean, the CHL, when we were in it last year, they specifically started after high school football. That's why they are... calendar starts late October. Here, the ECHL, they expect to be bigger than that. So,
yeah, and in general, you're okay if you start along with football as long as you don't have home games on Friday nights.
Yep.
But that's a tough draw because high school football is huge around here, so I don't necessarily expect a large crowd, but I don't think it'll be tiny either. I'll probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 or so, maybe 5,000 if it's... you know, if the weather cooperates and you get a decent walk-up crowd. But it won't be the 9,000 almost that we had on Saturday. But, you know, looking back at Saturday, you know, the team lost 6-2. There was a lot to not necessarily be happy about the way things went. But at the same time, 5 years ago, if you would have told me that on a Saturday in October we'd have 9,000 people watching hockey in downtown Evansville,
you just said, no way, they don't fit in Swander Ice Arena.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to pile them in every nook and cranny of the building you can find.
I think the best thing that helps out the Iceman this week is just a week of practice. No travel on Sunday for a game or anything else. Home game on Friday. 1 week of practice. Start working on chemistry. Time for Coach Crom to put in his system. And I think it's going to make a whale of difference. Just 5 days of practice.
Yeah, I think that's what people need to understand. That people, they're all professionals, and they should be able to come together right away. And hockey is a systems game. The coach has to be able to implement his systems. The players have to buy into it, and it takes time. It's like football, where you have to have, there's set plays, and even though there's no stoppage of play where you're huddling up and calling a play, you still have that element of the game where guys need to know where each other are going to be. Because, again, to draw a comparison to football, when you pass the puck, you're not passing to where the guy is. You're passing to where he's going to be.
Yep.
And you have to know where he's going to be. Otherwise, that pass is going to be intercepted. It's going to float down into the other zone for icing. You don't generate offense by not being in sync. And a few days of practice can go a long way toward that.
And I think definitely, like you were talking about the first line with Robinson, that he is one of the most amazing guys I've ever seen with the stick. His hands are unbelievable. The vision he has is unbelievable. And it's just going to take time for guys to get used to what he sees and where he wants them to be. So you talk about a Dan Gender or whatever, and Bowler will play with him last year. But if you have one guy off on a forward line, it just doesn't work in hockey. It's just you're bumping into each other. You're going high when he's expecting you to go low or vice versa, and it leads to bad hockey. So I think a week, just sitting around drinking coffee after practice is just going to help this team for them to understand, oh, yeah, this is what I usually like to do.
Yeah, and that top line with Robinson and Beaulieu and Gender, I said earlier that Gender probably has the best breakout potential and maybe he needs to be moved to another line, but I like the idea of Crom starting him on the Robinson line at the start of the season, because that way you've got your playmaker and probably your most talented player on the same line. And if it doesn't end up working, then you can always try another combination, but you may catch lightning in a bottle with those two too. Because if they establish a rapport and Todd knows where Gender is going to be, that's the type of talent on the line together that could easily score 3-4 goals a game if they really hit something.
I always wondered last year that a playoff run was cut so short, but I really expected Bisek to play left wing on that first line. I thought he played on that second line so we could have two solid lines, but I really expected in the crunch of the playoffs that Bisek would get moved up to that line. Now, Bisek may have been just too fast for them to be able to keep that line together, but I always wondered that Robinson feeding Bisek would have led to Bisek scoring 60 goals in this league.
Yeah, and I asked at the beginning of the season last year at one of the radio shows when Rich Crom was the guest, I asked him about that. I said, are you going to put Bisek with Robinson? Because, in my mind, I thought Bisek was the most natural goal scorer that team had last year, and with Robinson being a known playmaker who just piles up assists by the dozen, I thought that would be a very potent combination. But I think Rich was more focused on having that balance, and that's why Bisek ended up being on a second line, because, yeah, that would have made a very potent first line, but then what do you have after that?
Yeah, it would have been tough, especially with Lindbergh. He fought through the injury all last year, kept it quiet. What a class act, had to get knee surgery in the offseason. But, they're definitely going for three lines that they could roll out there, the two scoring lines and an energy line. So it'll be interesting to see this weekend if there's any lineup changes.
Yeah, I don't necessarily expect any changes. I think we'll probably see the same guys we saw because of the way the team played in the second and third periods on Saturday. I think there was enough promise there. It wasn't a total dumpster fire all three periods. So I think you'll probably see the same lines at least for this weekend. And then, if the team goes out and lays a couple more eggs, then you'll probably see changes, but I don't think Crom is the type of guy that's going to have a knee-jerk reaction where he's just going to blow it up and start all over again after one bad game, or really one bad period.
Hey, Michael Shockley, webmaster, senior writer for IcemanManiacs.com. You can go over to the website and check out everything there, and thank you for listening to the Dirty D and Shocker Show on 96.9 The Wire. You got anything else to say?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll better listen or else.
We'll see you next week.
We'll call your name out on the radio.
Yeah. We're not afraid to throw you under the bus, and Derek will run backwards and run over you again.
Yeah, a few times.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.